Now that AI agents are becoming more and more useful and more of a thing, at least for some tasks, I think it's really interesting to see how we're kind of going full circle. And here's what I mean. If we take a look at the history of computers and the internet as a whole, maybe, we could maybe draw a ease of use chart that looks something like this. Of course, this is totally made up, but you probably get my point here. We started in the 1970s or somewhere around there. Don't nail me on a specific year, but in the early days when you and me, well, I wasn't even born, but when normal households didn't even have a computer, interacting with computers was mostly text only through terminal user interfaces, through the command line, essentially. And rich graphical user interfaces and rich websites and all that fun stuff, operating systems built for normal users, that only became a thing around the 90s, 2000, and of course kept on evolving until today. And it still is, of course, evolving. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that this is all going away, but one thing that is clearly visible and easy to see is that with AI agents, we have this strong trend back to text-only input, terminal user interfaces, CLI tools, Markdown, JSON, all that basic stuff. And with that, I don't just mean that we have tools like Claude Code that don't really come with a graphical user interface, though there is a desktop app, but it's primarily consumed as a command line tool. I don't just mean that. Instead, I mean that all these AI agents, these agentic tools, however you want to call them, really excel at interacting with other command line tools, other programs they can invoke via the command line. They want simple text, simple formatted text like Markdown. That is where they really, really shine. And that's why more and more companies, like for example, a few hours ago when I'm recording this, Google release more and more command line tools. Like Google released a Google Workspace CLI. Believe it or not, that didn't exist until now, and it's a tool you can use to interact with your Google Workspace services like Gmail, Google Drive, through an official CLI. Now, there already were other solutions, like for example, GOG CLI by Peter Steinberger, the creator of OpenClaw. He built it because he wanted a programmatic CLI-based way of interacting with Google services, and that didn't exist until a few hours ago, but now it does exist. And this is not a sponsored video by Google or anything like that. It's just interesting to see that more and more companies that offer services are releasing tools like this. MCP servers would kind of be a similar thing, though MCPs, in my opinion, have various disadvantages, and I strongly believe we'll see CLI tools and APIs, and in the end, CLI tools just wrap APIs, in the future, or as the main way of consuming services through agentic tools. And here's a concrete example for what I mean. Over the last couple of days and weeks, I've been playing around with the Pi coding agent. Now, the Pi coding agent is, you could say, an alternative to Codex Claude Code. It's simpler in a good way, more limited regarding its features, but very, very powerful, and you can use it with your Codex subscription, for example. Now, this video is not primarily about this agent, and it doesn't matter really if you use this or Codex or Cursor or whatever, they all can get you there. But I also like this tool a lot, and most importantly, just like Claude Code and Codex, you can also use this tool for non-coding tasks, despite its name. For example, it's actually this Pi agent that's being used internally by OpenClaw. So that's the heart, the logical heart of OpenClaw, you could say. And then OpenClaw, of course, added way more to it, like memory and channels like Telegram and WhatsApp and all of that fun stuff. But this is one agentic tool you could be running on your system to do stuff. You could also build your own agent, of course. And I got a course on that where I also cover how AI agents actually work and what the difference to workflows is. And often you maybe want a workflow and not a true agent. But I got a course on that if you want to dive a bit deeper into that. I also got courses on Claude Code and Codex if you want to learn more about these tools. But no matter which tool you're using, what's really, really interesting and clear to see is how well well they can interact with other CLI tools, which makes a lot of sense because they've seen plenty of CLI work of using CLI tools like curl, like other command line commands like cd, ls, you know, all these Linux commands. They've seen plenty of that in their training data. And they've not just seen standard Linux commands, which they therefore know by heart, but most importantly, they saw how to use these tools, how to chain CLI tools together, how to pipe results from one tool into another tool. They saw all of that and they excel at that. They also saw that they can use dash dash help to learn more about a tool, and that puts them in a great position of using new tools as well. Tools they haven't seen in their training data, like this new Google Workspace CLI, for example. Of course, if you want to use that through an agent, it didn't see that in its training data. It doesn't know how to use that. But if you point it at it, if you maybe give it a link to the official docs, but even if you don't do that, it will most likely be able to figure out how to use it by using dash dash help and going from there, because it's just yet another CLI tool. And large language models in the end excel at understanding and describing and using these CLI tools. And for example, the other day, yesterday actually, I had a little problem. I needed to upload a PDF document to a website. And you know these sites that want you to upload a bunch of documents all in one document, and that document must not exceed 5 megabytes in size? Yeah, I was on one of those sites. And naturally, I had to compress that PDF document. Now, I could have tried to find a website that does it for me. I'm not a huge fan of uploading my stuff to some random website, though, so yeah, not sure. I could have also checked if there is some tool on my system that can help me with that, but I don't have the Adobe subscription anymore, so I would have taken some research. And maybe in the end, I would have uploaded it to some shaky website. Well, not with AI. Of course, I could have used Codex or Claude or Cursor or whatever to vibe code a little conversion compression tool. That probably would have worked as well. But what I did, I span up the PI agent, which I'm using with my Codex subscription. And I just ask it to take a look at that PDF file and please compress it while maintaining quality as much as possible. That was all. That was my only prompt here. And it essentially went to work, executed a bunch of commands in the command line, ran some little scripts. And by the way, I'm running this on my system, but I installed a Guardrails extension. PI, or PI is the actual name, has this concept of extensions which you can install. So I installed an extension that prevents the agent from just erasing my hard drive, at least in the straightforward way. And I was also closely watching it whilst it described what it was about to do. So I let it do its thing and it ran a bunch of stuff here. And in the end, it was done. And indeed, it did successfully compress this document and made it significantly smaller. Now, that's just a simple example, maybe, and there would have been alternatives. My point just is, it did that all in the command line, in the terminal, in the end, by using other commands, other programs there. And of course, that all makes a lot of sense, because we're talking about programs using a computer. And all these graphical user interfaces and rich websites were built for humans, for you and me. And that won't go away, of course. But if we want to have little utility tools, AI agents running on our system that can at least do some of the tasks we are doing right now, then we need to give them a way of using the computer in a more efficient way. Because a graphical user interface, an app or a website built for a human, is not the ideal way for a computer program, of course. It would have to take a screenshot, figure out where the buttons are, move the mouse to a button, click that button, take a screenshot again to see what's on the new page. That's super inefficient, burns a lot of tokens, and takes super long. And I mean, that's why we have the concept of APIs way before the advent of AI agents and large language models. Because if we are writing a program, doesn't matter if it's a website or an app, if we're writing a program and we want to interact with another program, with another service, of course, in the past, we already used an API and we didn't try to write a script that uses a website that's meant to be used by humans. That's why APIs exist, and CLIs, command line programs, in the end are just wrappers around APIs, at least in the case of CLIs like the Google Workspace CLI. But that is exactly the kind of program we need and want for an agent to consume, because it doesn't care about pretty buttons or anything about that. It wants a simple way of invoking various commands to get stuff done. And that is why this makes sense. That's also, of course, why we have Markdown being more important now than ever, and why most documentation pages already offer a little copy button like this, which makes it easy to copy the content as Markdown so that you can paste it into your favorite large language model chat session or coding tool. Why some websites also support stuff like adding .md at the end of the URL to get this article in Markdown, because we're going towards a future where at least some services and some content will primarily be meant to be consumed by agents. I mean, take the documentation of a library or a framework like TanStack Start. If you're building a TanStack Start site these days, and of course, it doesn't matter which tech stack you use, you get my point, then you will likely do that with help of some coding agent, Cursor, whatever. And if you want to tell those agents how to use the library, if you want to point them at a specific documentation article, you don't want to point them at a website like this. You don't want them to download the HTML code, which burns a lot of tokens unnecessarily. And that is kind of the same reason for why CLI tools are becoming more and more important, because we're moving towards a future where at least some tasks will be done with the help of AI agents or exclusively by AI agents. Which of course also means that if you're building some kind of service which is not primarily meant to be consumed by humans, you wanna strongly think about building a CLI as well as offering an API and whatever you need, so that in the future people can consume your service through agents. And of course, we're still super early here. The vast majority of people doesn't care about agents at all. And it's too early to tell how good AI agents will become and which kind of tasks they will be able to tackle in the future. Maybe we are kind of stuck at the current level, where they can do some stuff, but definitely not all of that, and still need human supervision. But even in that place, there are tasks that can be performed by agents, and you can make them more useful and more powerful by giving them just the right tools that make it easy for agents to interact with other services, with websites, and so on. And that's why we're kind of going full circle. Obviously, that does not mean that the graphical user interface and websites are going away, and there will probably always be apps or websites that are meant to be consumed by humans that don't really make sense to be consumed by agents. I mean, something like Netflix, I don't see a huge advantage in an agent telling me what a certain movie is about. I guess I want to watch it. But for many services, especially in the SaaS business or in the professional services area, that definitely is the way forward, I think. Obviously, early days, but definitely a clear development we can see here. At least that is my opinion. But as always, I want to find out what your opinion is too. So please share it. Let me know what you think of that, what I maybe forgot or overlooked. And yeah, let's see how the world of CLI tools looks like in a year or two.